Welcome to an episode of Football is Wife. I'm Leslie Ryder, and I'm here with my wife, Emily Anderson.
That's me.
That's you. We're married.
We are.
We're wives, and we like football. We like other stuff, too, in the women's sports space.
And men's sports sometimes.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
We watch a lot less. The percentage is decreasing of what's watched in our house, which I find very funny.
It's the advantage of more women's sports means we don't have to watch as many men's sports.
It's true. And you know who else doesn't have to watch as many men's sports? Our dog.
Oh, is it your lovely assistant who is climbing onto the bench next to you?
My assistant who wants to help with the podcast. Hi, buddy.
Yeah. So if you hear any strange sounds, just rustling or breathing or chewing on things.
That's me. That's me, sorry.
That's my wife.
Hi, buddy. What do you need? What do you need right now?
My wife, she just can't get through a podcast without her peanut butter bone.
Nope. Where are you going? Yeah, that chair moves, pal. Get off my desk. You can't be on a desk.
The Ruffy is the only male species of the house, so it's only fitting that he tries to insert himself just about everywhere.
You want to explain sports to me?
Yeah, tell us what the difference is between football and soccer.
Hey, Ruffy, name five players on the Aces.
You can't.
You're going to fall in my lap? Oh,
okay. Yep. Typical man is going to use physical altercation to, but now he's sitting in her lap and being a little cute.
He just wants to bark out the window. It's not going to end well for us.
He's just a sweet boy who likes to scream. Speaking of screaming, here's what we're going to get into today. The NWSL playoffs are underway. The NWSL award nominations are out. We have U.S. Women's National Team game week. And we got some bits and bobs for you. An update on the Pride Tape situation and the WNBA championship. Wife.
Yeah.
The NWSL playoffs, last weekend. What do you make of that?
They happened. They were stressful. I had a lot of feelings. So it's interesting because there are two games. The first game, I had to go to bed. I was just done. Like that day, I think I'd gotten up at 5 or something and was just
we are of the age where 9 p.m. kickoff is a bit of an ask.
It was a bit of a struggle, and that was just not the day for it. But then the next game, you weren't feeling well, and I watched the whole thing. So, this is going to be interesting, because I don't have a lot to say on the first one. Go ahead.
Yeah. Goodness gracious, what was the first? The first one was Olrain, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because it was on the West Coast, and that's why it was on so late.
Right. Olrain and Angel City. I think I was surprised with how low a scoring game it was, given the week before both of those teams combined put up like 8 goals on decision day. So I think I would have expected more than a 1-0 win in dramatics, but
they do all. So both have very strong defenses.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
Shout out to Anderson's bench, generally, all of them, but especially Angel City's Anderson, because, you know, we out here.
I feel like Olrain finds success by just kind of by like getting behind the defense as they did many times in Chicago, but I think when you have a back line with Sarah Gordon, you can't win that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's also a lot of tactical choices there, but even just, Allie Riley, Paige Nielsen, Vignola, like, That's a lot to contend with.
It's a stronger back line than what they were facing the week before.
Yes, it is. and that's all I have to say about that. But they do, you know, run at you and very directly, and it's a lot of speed to deal with and a lot of attack from a variety of directions. so it can be overwhelming, and I think that's ultimately what did it for him.
I was excited by a late game dramatics, not because I wanted to go to bed and didn't want it to go to extra time.
Definitely wasn't that reason.
Definitely not part of my reasoning, but I think it's exciting when you get a late winner. I think it's neat.
I do too, and I'll be honest, I'm not ready for more penalties. I don't think I've recovered from the World Cup yet in that regard.
No. I need more time.
I used to be the person that was like, I like penalties. I think they're fun. I think this World Cup might have beat it out of me. It was
oh, you like penalties? Have all the penalties in the world.
Yeah, watch them in person and just feel every feeling for Alyssa Nair. It's fine. Yeah, that goal was scored, I think, 6 minutes after I went to bed. So good for you guys. Thank you. I will see myself out earlier, maybe, in the future. It worked for Arsenal as well this weekend, Arsenal men. I don't know. Late winner from Latsko. Whose first name is Veronica? Not a name you hear that often anymore. And I like it.
Oh, good old Ronnie Latsko.
It was a good game otherwise. I'll admit, like, yeah, I wanted more goals. Makes it more exciting to watch.
I get.
I love it back and forth.
I get, like, being a bit, not that I think that they were in the game, but I can understand being a little conservative in a playoff game, because it's like, there's no back to the drawing board if you lose.
Yeah, I mean, that was also true for both teams last time they played, to be fair, mm-hmm. But I do think they approached this game differently than they did the previous one. And it was a bit more tactical. It was a bit of a chess match, which is fun to watch in a different way. But for me personally, not fun to watch when you're tired. I don't play chess well when I'm tired. I needed that excitement of like a back and forth to keep me up. But you know, it was still a great game. And now we have a winner.
We have a winner
with the 1-0.
And we have an end of the season for Angel City, who may not have been in the playoff conversation 6 months ago. Yeah. Becky Tweed just turning the team around, and I'm very impressed.
Yeah, well done. And folks have talked about, and I know we'll get to this later, of Tweed for Coach of the Year, and I think it's absolutely worth consideration.
At the very least, just give her the permanent job.
Yeah, if she wants it.
Yeah.
If she wants it. But yeah, she does. I think she's earned it.
Yeah. The next quarterfinal, we had Gotham versus North Carolina, and we had another pretty chill scoreline.
Yeah. That one was pretty quiet. I made the decision early to be Team Gotham that day, I think. Mostly in support of our queen, Allie Krieger. But I had put on my Gotham shirt earlier that day.
Mm-hmm.
And just committed. I chose a Batman theme for the Bats.
Go Bats!
But also a bit of Michelle Pfeiffer, because technically North Carolina are cats. So it was fun. Bats or cats?
Bats or cats.
And it's spooky. Both are Halloween themed. So, you know, it's on all notes. But it was a bit, like, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel a little bit for things to comment about. Doing some silly. But, you know, Gotham, they pulled it off.
Eventually they got through. They scored a couple, but it was North Carolina held the line for a bit.
For a long while. It was, you know, the first half, I guess. the whole first half, and Gotham then had to kind of hold tight, which I know Gotham isn't Arsenal, because if this was Arsenal, they scored in the 45th minute, and I had to watch a 1-0 game for the second half entirely, I would have lost my mind. Also, they would have lost the game.
That's how Arsenal goes.
That's how it goes. Gotham, though, scores, you know, just a cheeky little addition in the 91st minute. And, yeah, they sealed the deal. That was it.
I enjoy Allie Krieger getting her career going for at least one more game. Love the olds advancing.
I think I said last week it'd be very fun to have a Gotham OL Reign final, and would you look at that?
We got ourselves a little collision course here. Portland is going up against Gotham. OL Reign heads down the 5 to play San Diego Wave Football Club.
Love it.
I think we're going to be in for a treat. Can we also make mention of, we've got 3 West Coast teams in 4 semifinal playoff spots.
I, as a Midwesterner, don't care about the coastal situation, because y'all don't care about us, to be honest. But as a native New Yorker, how does it make you feel? With the West Coast is best coast argument that may or may not be being made.
As a native New Yorker, all I can say about this is, if we have to look at it from a natural disaster situation, I would say New York, prone to flooding.
Yeah,
especially now. Very bad at flooding. But you go to the West Coast, you get wildfires, you get earthquakes, you get the threat of tsunamis.
Have there been any North American tsunamis on the West Coast here?
Okay, not yet, but when the big one comes.
Okay, but you guys also have hurricanes. So it's not just flooding, it's hurricanes.
Flood, wind.
Plus flooding. Plus, you get smoke and, like, air issues from your pals up north. Happened earlier this year.
Yeah, but we're not starting the wildfires.
Blizzard. I would argue that none of these teams are starting wildfires, as far as I know, either.
If we are strictly looking at the West Coast is the best coast, I have reservations.
Okay. So that's now we know how you really feel. See how defensive you get immediately. You start pointing at natural disasters.
I would say the ones on the East Coast bit more ounce of prevention to prevent a pound of tsunami water. Yeah, there you go.
All right. That was a weird detour into weather. But I think there are a lot of ways someone could be best. And you know what's gonna resolve this for us?
The semi-final matches.
That's correct. That is a correct answer.
I'm happy for Gotham, though. I do think there's a lot to be said for their, you know, last place to making it to the semifinals. So that's pretty good.
That's pretty cool. And honestly, they've been trying to build this program back after a big shift for a couple of years now. And it feels like every year with Gotham, I'm like, this is the year they're going to have, you know, a solid season. And then something happens. And it's just like, oh, buddy. Okay. But, you know. This year, it's looking pretty good so far.
It's looking pretty good. Knock on wood. It's pretty good.
Yeah. But even, let's say they lose, which I'm not saying they're going to, but if they did, I think they still have a season to be proud of and a lot to build on.
And yeah, I think they're set up to continue being good.
Yeah, I think so too. And God, don't get me started on drafts and expansion drafts
to come in the future. Yeah, that's gonna be weird. All that said, I hope we get a Gotham and Olrain final, because it would be awesome to have the final bow at the biggest stage.
Yeah, I think so too. Who are you predicting, or who do you want the final to be?
Like the winner?
Yeah.
Like the winner?
No, just like who's the who is in the final?
Both sides. Oh, yeah. That's I want Rain versus Gotham, therefore I must put forth Rain versus Gotham.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I must speak that to life.
Fair enough. I think I think Portland might be the team I've actually watched the least this year somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that happened. But I don't have a strong feeling yay or nay there. I don't want San Diego to win the semifinal, though. And this is going to make some friends mad. But here's why. I don't like when there's a final and there is a home field advantage.
You don't like it?
That I don't, because that's not really fair. Not, like, it wasn't earned. They pick the site of the final well before the playoffs. So, if the final's in San Diego, I don't think it's fair that San Diego gets to play in it. So, I like neutral teams coming to this place for a showdown.
That's interesting. My reasoning for not wanting San Diego to win is more of the
spite?
A little bit of spite, a little bit of pettiness. It was just like, you're new here. You need to go through the pain.
Yeah, that's fair. Would you feel that way if Angel City was head one?
I did. I mean, they like missed the playoffs their first year, so like I would feel a little less that way towards Angel City, but like San Diego coming out of the gate like with success is really cool, from just like a building a club perspective, but from the mind of a petty women's soccer fan, I would like you to feel pain before you triumph. I like that narrative a little better.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like you have the once in a generation defender. You have Alex Morgan. You started
in San Diego.
Yeah, you started on third base, pal. It's you didn't hit a triple.
They might have hit a double though.
Yeah, you got Casey Stoney as your head coach. I think
that's good decision making though. That didn't happen by accident.
I think that is that it's fair that it was okay. Maybe they built their foundation very well, and it will last them a long time. But not yet. No championship for you yet.
You just don't want to have to congratulate Jill Ellis.
Also that. How dare you win two World Cups and then your very first professional team. You build a champion. How dare you?
How dare.
Yeah, so my reasons for San Diego are strictly petty and I'm sure they have the ability to do it. I just don't want them to, because I want Megan Rapinoe to have her chance for a final. These are feelings. We are people who have feelings about sports, and we feel them hard.
Most of them are sad. Speaking, but sometimes they're happy.
Sometimes they are happy, because some happy feelings we may have coming out the NWSL award nominations have been announced.
They have.
They have. I was just hoping for a little more fanfare. we have.
That's. I'm under caffeinated, so.
That's fair.
I don't know how much fanfare you're getting from me today, but I'll try.
That is fair. We have, for the MVP, we have Sophia Smith going for the double. We have Davinia. We have Caroline. We have Naomi Girma and Sam Coffey. Defender of the Year, Allie Krieger, Naomi Girma, Sarah Gordon, Sam Staub, and Kaylee Kurtz. For Keeper of the Year, we get Katie Lund, Jane Campbell, and Kaylin Sheridan. For Rookie of the Year, Messiah Bright, Jenna Neiswanger, and Alyssa Thompson. And for Coach of the Year, we get Casey Stoney, Becky Tweed, and Juan Carlos Amoros.
How you feeling?
I think some of these are going to be really, really tight. MVP, the MVP race, I look at, you know, how the team, when I think about like an MVP, I think that's someone who is, she's valuable. She's valuable to the team. When the team does well, she does well. And perhaps when they are removed from the equation, you see the team dip a bit. And I don't necessarily think you need to be on the best team to be the most valuable player, but I think it's a nudge in the positive direction. That said, I would say I'm glad Sam Coffey is getting this recognition. I think she's someone that really should be getting into the national team conversation. Davinia has been very valuable to Kansas City Current, but Kansas City hasn't had a great season. I don't know how I reconcile those feelings with how I tend to feel about MVPs.
Yeah, for me, I mean, Sophia Smith, obviously, very good, very good at soccer, I think.
Uh-huh. And when she wasn't there, Portland didn't do as well.
Yes, and the player that jumps out to me is Caroline, though.
Mm.
She's been so good this season, and such a standout for the Courage,
mm-hmm.
that I think that's where my vote goes. I would need to like look at numbers and decide how I would, you know, vote if it's based on goals or the contributions to da da da. But yeah, there's something stand out there for me.
Yeah,
and as we kind of saw, they struggle without her. And we've seen that quite recently.
I think the Golden Boot was 1-2 Sophia Smith. Caroline, so I think we might see a tight race for MVP for the two of them. Defender yeah.
Caroline
of the
was hold on. Caroline was responsible for more than like 30% of their goals this year, and that's insane to me.
That is insane.
Like, these are stats that I was looking up during my Batman time, because I was trying to do anything that wasn't a Batman, that was insane. And without her, yeah, it's a struggle. But also, yeah, just want to say, like, Sam Coffey getting that recognition, I hope it's the first of more to come.
On to Defender of the Year. I think it's a fun list. I think it's going to come down to a couple, because Naomi Girma is so dependable and reliable and is... that for club and for country, she's rock solid, and I think that's hard to ignore. But Allie Krieger is also having a year.
She is. Yeah, I think those are my top two. I'm also just happy to see Sam Staub getting that recognition. My award naturally goes to Casey Krueger, who is not in this list. Just because she's insane.
She was our defender of the year, for sure.
Yeah. And it is really hard for me to debate between those two, but yeah, I'd have to look at stats again, to be honest, to split hairs. But the fact that Germa's in two categories is bonkers.
Yeah, like, again, like, I'm pretty sure that's how it went last year, too, and she's the defending champion. It's going to be interesting to see if she is unseated.
It's really hard for me to root against Ellie Krieger for this. so, hey, Naomi, come back next year, maybe.
Good time. to Keeper of the Year. This is where I'm intrigued by, like, why do some categories get five nominees and some only have three? Like, is this the Oscars where you can have up to a certain amount and then...
No, it's because there's way more defenders in a game than there are goalies.
Well, there's a lot of keepers in this league.
No, there aren't. There are 12. There's one per team. That's how it goes. So, it's relative to how many play in a game. You have four defenders usually playing in a game at a time for one team, and only one goalie.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say...
Aha! Logic. Got you.
I would say we've also seen a lot of split duty this year.
Duty.
I think this is an interesting group. I like Kaylin Sheridan. Katie Lund also had a good year, but Racing Louisville didn't make the playoffs. Jane Campbell is always solid, but also didn't make the playoffs. I would give this one to Kaylin Sheridan. I would take another look at the stats and, you know, who had more saves and whatnot. But I do think Kaylin Sheridan's pretty solid and is one of the best goalies in the world.
Ooh. She said in the world.
I did. Which is a big talk for a international team that got kicked out in the group stage.
So I will say, looking at the stats now, shout out Ruffy for interrupting me and allowing me to do that. What's interesting is, in terms of goals against of the three of them, Katie Lund has the most goals allowed, but second most saves. Jane Campbell has only 18 goals allowed and 91 saves, which is bonkers.
That's pretty good.
Okay, and then you scroll down, though, to Kaylin Sheridan, who only has 18 goals allowed, but also only has 63 saves. So that's, like, 25 fewer saves than Katie Lund. I'm giving it to Katie Lund. On just, like, save-to-goals-allowed ratio, or Jane Campbell, actually. Because I think it's very tough to be a goalie in the first place, but it's even tougher when your team is allowing shots on you. you have a much easier job as a goalie if your defense is doing a good job. And I think that was the case for Kaylin Sheridan.
Yeah, that's fair.
Babes. So, like, yeah. Okay, that's all I have to say about that.
That's fair.
I wouldn't have thought that maybe without looking at the stats. So I think Houston and Louisville, yeah, those are... Campbell and Lund would be my go-tos. And I think out of just... Yeah. I think I'm giving it to Jane Campbell. Only 18 goals allowed.
That's pretty bonkers.
Over 22 games. They all played the same number of games. Like, there's nothing crazy there. Actually, Kaylin Sheridan played fewer games. Yeah, get out of here, Sheridan.
Okay, yeah. We give it to Jane Campbell. We give it to Jane.
Yep.
Houston defense do better, but also offense score more goals.
Yeah, truly.
Which, with that front line, come on.
Right? Ugh. Whole other ballgame.
On to Rookie of the Year. This one may also be a bit contentious. Messiah Bright was... I struggled to find the words because she was so good for Orlando. Like, right off the bat. So good and so overlooked in the draft.
Yeah, that's the bonkers part. I still don't understand that. I think for me, and this isn't intended as a slight, but I don't worry about Orlando very much in terms of competition.
Sure.
Or at least I haven't in years past, because they've kind of been a bit messy. They've been, like, you see some good stuff, and then it all falls apart. And
they're kind of always in a rebuild.
Yeah. And so I'm, like, I kind of feel bad for them. They got some Detroit Tigers energy. But I think Messiah Bright changed that a bit this year. And made me go, ah, shit, yeah, you do kind of have to worry about Orlando, huh?
Yeah. And I mean, they were... eliminated on decision day. Like, they had... I think they're doing a rebuild and have actually put some pieces in place to be further along the path than they have in years past. And I think to be a player who's so important to that gives you some props, stones in the bucket of the vote. Jenna Nyswanger has also been very good for Gotham, but she is as important to Gotham as Messiah Bright is to Orlando. We could have a fellow Jenna on the pod who could perhaps debate us
I think we know what side she'd be on.
Yeah. Alyssa Thompson, also very good, is going to be a great player, but I don't think she gets Rookie of the Year.
I think Jenna and Alyssa have more support from experienced teammates maybe than Messiah does. This could be me totally talking out my ass, but yeah, I think I give it to Messiah.
Coach of the Year. We get Casey Stoney, Becky Tweed, Juan Carlos Amoros. Many have called for the inclusion of Sean Nahas of the North Carolina Courage, because he took a team that I think people had very few expectations of at the beginning of the year to a spot where they're still playing, so joke's on us.
Was that a question?
It was not.
Sometimes you just stop mid, like, after a sentence and look at me, and I don't know.
Well, and now you weigh in.
No, because you said some people are calling that a snub. You didn't say you are calling that a snub. So what's your opinion?
I mean, this would be a why not just include him in the batch? Like, we can have four Coach of the Year candidates.
I mean, yeah, I suppose.
You can have four semifinalists. You can have four Coach of the Year.
That's fair. I think that's a fair bet. It should be maybe analogous to the teams in the finals. And not necessarily it should be coaches of teams in the playoffs, but
yeah,
maybe on par in terms of volume. I think mine goes to Becky Tweed. You take over in a fucking difficult scenario.
Middle of the season.
And then get your team to the playoffs. That's just cool as shit. And
yeah.
That's my vote. Sean Nahas probably should get a nod here, at least an acknowledgement, but he didn't. So, of these three. Also, I want Casey Stoney to wear tweed. Like, a tweed jacket, and there's a thing there. I don't know how to play with it yet, but yeah.
Because I think the Becky Tweed kind of had the abbreviated
season
and, like, just high pressure, short amount of time. I would say Juan Carlos had a similar situation with Gotham. Gotham finished, like, what, dead last year? And they are still playing. And I think that's both teams are kind of a situation of there are really good players here, just haven't figured out how to use them in the best way. And I think that's what Becky Tweed and Juan Carlos Amoros have have accomplished. And I think that is going to be a tough choice.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I can't pick one. I can't do it.
I pick the girl.
I pick the girl too. The voting process, of course, will be done by a split of players, owners, media, fans. 40% done by players, which I think is cool. 25% by the owners, GMs, coaches of the teams, 25% come from the media, and 10% from the fans. I think they retooled that a couple of years ago, and I think this is a nice balance.
This is a good balance. I like where we're at.
I like where we're at. Speaking of liking where we're at, the U.S. Women's National Team is having an international break right now in the middle of the playoff race that we were just talking about.
Yeah, I find that really weird and distracting, and I wouldn't want it if I were any of these players, but here we are. So I guess have fun and no one get hurt and have a good time. I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
But I don't think there are too many, like, surprise call-ups or anything. Game in Utah, folks are reporting today, I think, or maybe yesterday. I guess we're back in Utah. Why do we only play games in states where I don't feel comfortable?
That part, I don't know why we must do this all the time. The good news is the next game's in San Diego, so at least we get some California action. But I think the terrible reality is that there are more states that are a little bit litigious towards the gays than others, and that is extremely unfortunate. And I wish we did not reward the states with the revenue and all the good things that come from these games. However, there are a lot of people who are in those states who are, you know, not exactly there by choice. You can't choose where you're born, so it's tough.
As someone who grew up in Indiana, yeah, fair.
But the extremely funny thing about this game being in Utah is that we see Amy Rodriguez in photos with in the training photos with the team. But notice how none of the photos have Emily Sonnet in them.
Not yet. We don't know what's brewing there, but it could be fun.
We posted the clip of the last time Emily Sonnet and Amy Rodriguez met in Utah, and those of us who remember the football heritage moment of that insane game, where Becky Sauerbrunn scored a goal and Emily Sonnet got a red card. I think she got a red card for it, but The two of them faced off a bit, and it was extremely silly, and one of the comments under it was, "This is my Roman Empire," which I think of that game often. I get it.
Do you?
I think it was a memorable game, and it comes up a lot, and I think it is, like, the epitome of NWSL chaos is in that game.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess I don't think of it that often. I don't know what game I don't know what game is my Roman Empire. Now I have to think about that.
Think on it for a bit. As we go to the bits and bobs, the stupid, horribly misguided Pride tape ban that the NHL put down has been reversed.
Would you look at that?
Would you look at that? Travis Dermott of the Phoenix Coyotes put a couple inches of pride tape at the top of his stick.
Like, you know, a not real pal.
Yeah, he's a good pal right there. I think the significance of this, though, is that he's just a guy on a 1-year deal who has, like, a 2-way contract and could be sent to the minors for whatever reason. did this. Like, this wasn't Sidney Crosby. This wasn't Connor McDavid. This was a dude who just wanted to do the right thing. And to have some convictions, I applaud him. I know the bar is the floor, but he did a good.
But he went above the floor. And
he did.
For this, I'll take it. Yeah. So yeah, way to go. And also,
good job, Travis.
Fuck you, NHL. Yeah.
fuck you, NHL.
WNBA. We've got champs.
Boy, do we. It was close, though. We had a close game four. It was looking like perhaps we would force a game five, but the Las Vegas Aces pulled it out at the very end and won in a completely sold-out Barclays Center, screaming for the Liberty to pull it off, but they snatched away, and it was really cool. Asia Wilson, dominant performance. Gave us the reappearance of Champagne Asia, who comes out after the Aces win. And boy, is it fun to watch a team celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. they really do celebrate better than anyone. I mean, cigars, champagne, like, they're good. It also, like, it feels right that it's, you know, Vegas team.
Yeah.
It was weird because they won in New York City. And so folks were, like, booing, which I was like, I get it, but also, like, you know.
So just, okay, get good.
Yeah. Well, I think they're good in that their team was also there. But, yeah, I really thought we were getting a game five, and then it was, like, all of a sudden basketball's over. I mean, I guess the MNBA started this week, but I don't.
Yeah, know. College basketball is coming back too. So all the
I'm not ready for it.
The kids are back.
Yeah, it felt almost. It was all of a sudden like just like okay, they win. That's it. Celebrating on the court. That's it. And it was like okay, cool. And then yeah, the celebration, including Coach Becky Hammond.
Becky Hammond
along there with them.
Taking the mic at the celebration at the end of the parade, that was just fantastic. 10 out of 10, no notes. That's a legend of the game. To win back-to-back titles in your first 2 years as a coach is pretty fucking special.
That's pretty cool. What a baller. Like,
what a baller.
She scares me a little bit in a cool way. Of like, dude, you're really good at this basketball thing, huh?
She's good. She's good at this basketball. Speaking of things that are not quite so good, I would like to take something to the trash pretty quickly.
Okay.
Okay. So the PWHL, the Professional Women's Hockey League, is supposedly kicking off in January. We don't have team logos. We don't have team names. We might get team names. But one thing we do have is a league logo. And
you really hate it.
I just... It looks like they took the Westworld logo and just put hockey sticks on it.
Maybe they did.
And I mean, like, the firm they worked with or whatever kind of like shared their like sheet of designs and they're none of them are really good. I don't know. Like when I think of a league logo, it needs some presence to it, some authority. Like the San Diego MLS club shield looks more like a league logo than this PWHL thing.
That looks like a police badge is what it looks like. It's stupid.
San Diego Cops FC coming to you soon in the MLS. I think it looks dumb. I want better for you, hockey. I really do.
It is pretty underwhelming, I will say. Like, it's pretty unremarkable. I feel like, okay, I don't know that I need that much out of a league logo.
No, but like...
I want it to kind of be boring, but this is under that somehow. And also, I don't from looking at it, mm-hmm. I don't know the league. It just looks like a big W.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. Because honestly, if you say the W, I think basketball.
Yeah.
So they're not going to get that.
No.
That's taken. So I don't know what the plan was, but I don't think they pulled it off. And yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me as mad as it makes you, but.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm always in a state of wanting more from hockey and just never getting it. So I think I just trying to tamper my my hopes and dreams constantly.
How's that going?
Not well.
Cool. I was gonna say hockey. Really unbothered, huh?
Hockey just can't. It can't. What can it do? Can't. The answer is can't.
Canada. Sorry. Canada didn't do anything that deserves that, but hockey is their sport, so.
Ugh. Let's go happier. Anything gay happen?
My sportsmanship of the week honestly goes to Travis Dermott, now that I think about it, because thanks for taking a stand, buddy. So he's my sportsman of the week this time.
Very sporting.
Very sporting. Going above and beyond. And, like, I'm sorry. How dare you add something colorful to your stick?
This is why hockey can't.
Yeah. It's the worst. But if we go back to the sporting, I think just Allie Krieger and Megan Rapinoe advancing to the playoffs is a solid win for us old gays, too.
Yeah, the elder millennials are taking it in.
Yeah, we really are. We do love a victory lap. So, you know, I hope one of them comes out with, you know, a big celebration there.
Yeah.
The most painful podcast we've ever
done. This has been the hardest one we've done. Just a few technical difficulties and interruptions from the boy. But we did it. We got through it.
We did it. We survived. We're here. I'm sorry, guys, if I sound so over it.
It's
not that that's inaccurate, but
it is where you are, and that's what we should accept and put forth. I am Leslie Ryder. My frustrated wife is Emily Anderson. You can follow us.
The name of my biography. Frustrated wife.
You can follow us across social media at GalPalSports. If you like what you're hearing, give us a rating, leave us a review. We love reading things from other people. You can find us, of course, back here next week for another episode of Football Is There. Bye.